Book of Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter number 2. I appreciate the good testimonies, the good singing, and most of all, His presence this morning, how we need the Lord. Amen. And stand with us, if you will, Philippians chapter number 2. And I want to read a familiar text this morning, but I pray that the familiarity of the text will not take away from what the Lord laid upon our heart. Philippians chapter 2. And look with us in verse number 9. The Bible says, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Heavenly Father, I ask you this morning in Jesus' name that you would help us. I want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for the singing. Lord, I just ask now that you'd move. Lord, save that sinner in our midst that's nearest hell. God, I pray if there's anybody here lost, they'd come this morning and accept you and be born again in the family of God. Give us liberty, and may most of all, we pray that you'd be glorified. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. You can be seated this morning. You know, when you look at this passage of Scripture, the Bible, it keeps emphasizing a name here. The Bible said, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name." And this name is mentioned all throughout. In fact, the Bible said that it's above every name. That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. And then if you go a little bit further, that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The emphasis is on that name. And you know, I think about how we put emphasis on names in society. Society puts a lot of emphasis. Names have a lot of meaning when you think about it. You think about tools. The names of tools matter. Automobiles, the names, clothing items, guns. I thought about hair and makeup products. A name means so much when you start thinking about it, all in different avenues of life, places. We name places around this world that have significant meanings, and we give names to monuments and names to parks, and names, they say something. They speak about individuals. They speak about circumstances and history and so many different things. And then I thought about the world that we're living in today, the social media world, how that so many people are trying to get a name in this world. The world strives for a name. They promote names. You think about, we have been instructed in the Word of God, we are to honor names, but we are not to try to make a name for ourselves. And then we're not to exalt any name to a place of worship other than His name. Because we're not worthy. Our name is nothing. I always sung about it. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. Amen. Our name is not anything. The Bible said to let another man praise thee. Even in this same chapter, the Bible tells us to let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. We're to put other names in front of our own name. Amen. But there is one name, amen, that is mentioned here that is higher than any name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name that is above every name. I want to preach a few minutes this morning on that subject, on the name that is above every name. Amen. I'm thankful this morning that there is a name that is above every name. The songwriter said, "There is a name I love to hear." Amen. I'm telling you, there's another song that says, "Jesus, Jesus." There's just something about that name. Amen. Kings and kingdoms will one day fall, but the name of Jesus will last throughout eternity. I want to remind you this morning that He is not just Jesus, but He is the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And every one of those names means something this morning. The word Lord is His heavenly name. It speaks about His deity, His authority. It speaks about His sovereignty. The name Jesus, that is His Hebrew name. It's equivalent to Joshua in the Old Testament. And then we think about the name Christ. That's His human name. It means anointed one. He is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the heavenly, thank God. He is the Hebrew of all Hebrews. And then this morning, He is the greatest human. He's the greatest man that ever lived, the sinless Son of God, the perfect man, the God-man, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. There's just something this morning, as the songwriter said, about His name. Because His name is above every name. I'll give you three things this morning about the name that's above every name this morning. I want you to look at verse number 9 here. I want you to think about the bestowing of His name. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted Him. Here it is. And give Him a name which is above every name. I want to say this morning, when we think about the bestowing of this name, Jesus did not make a name for Himself. Jesus did not set out to promote Himself or to exalt Himself. But His name was given to Him by the highest authority that can ever be given. Amen. And when I think about His name, the bestowing of His name, I think about the sovereignty of His name. The Bible said, wherefore God. Amen. I'm telling you, this name was not given by man, but this name was not given by angels. This name was not given by Old Testament patriarchs or New Testament apostles. Amen. But this name was given by the sovereign one Himself, the lofty one of heaven, the one that sits high upon the throne, the one that spoke the worlds into existence, of the author and the finisher, the creator, my friend, of this world. His Father gave Him this name. The bestowing of this name, it exemplifies the sovereignty. God gave Him this name. You know, some people have spent a lifetime trying to make a name for themselves. Some have succeeded. But if at the end of the way, if all you have is a name, then you have nothing. It doesn't matter if your name is on billboards. It doesn't matter if it's on buildings. It doesn't matter how many people chant your name or think well of your name. If all you have in the end is a name, then you have nothing. I think about that song that we sing sometimes, to know the love of God. Amen. I'm telling you, if you don't know the love of God, then my friend, the songwriter said, you know nothing if you don't know about His love. I'd rather know His love as to have a name this morning. I'd rather know Jesus Christ, the name above every name. Ask my friend, for people to remember my name. And when we think about the bestowing of His name, we think about the sovereignty. God is the one that gave Him that. The splendor of His name. God has given Him a name that has been highly exalted. His name is above the false gods of this world. His name is above the heathens of this world. His name is above all the kings and the captains of this world. I'm telling you, there's not a famous person that has a name higher than His name, for their name is only sung in this earth, but His name is sung throughout the ages. His name is sung throughout eternity. His name is higher than the sun. It's higher than the moon. It's higher than the stars. It's higher than the heavens. It's higher than the universe. God has exalted His name above every name. I'm talking about above every name of every generation, above every name of every nationality. His name is sung through the four corners of this earth. It's sung throughout the Milky Way. It's sung, the stars sing His name. The heavens declare His name. The angels sing His name. Let all the earth sing His name. The splendor of that name, there's glory of it in heaven. There's glory of it on earth. Even the charred walls of hell tremble at that name, because it is an exalted name this morning. And I think about the bestowing of that name. God has highly exalted Him. When you mention the name Jesus, you mention it all, friend. And then there is the supremacy of His name. Notice the Bible says here, He's given Him a name that is above every name. His name is far above Allah, Confucius, Joseph Smith, all these false teachers and false gods and false prophets of this world. I want to tell you this morning, none of them got their name from God. None of their names have been exalted by the heavens or the Holy One. Their name has been exalted by man. That's why it'll falter and it'll crumble. But this name this morning, it will last throughout eternity. It'll last while the ages roll. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't given by me and it wasn't given by you. No organization gave Him this name. No denomination gave Him this name. But God gave Him a name. It is supreme in the heavens. It is supreme on earth. And it is supreme in hell. I want to tell you this morning, the bestowing of this name was given by God. Hallelujah. I'm thankful for His name this morning. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is a name above every name. What is it that makes this name so exalted? I'll tell you what makes it exalted. There's power in this name. There's peace in this name. There's pardon in this name. For whosoever, Romans 10:13, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Amen. Acts 4:12 said, neither is there salvation in any other, for there's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'll tell you, if you get into heaven, if you get to the throne of God, you'll not get there by your name, and you'll not get there by my name, and you'll not get there by somebody else's name. There's only one name that's going to get you in. There's only one name that gives entrance and access to the portals of glory, and that's His name, because it's above every name. The bestowing of His name. And then there's the bowing at His name. The Bible says in verse number 10 that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow. I'll tell you, that's a promise this morning. It doesn't matter who people think they are or how much power they think they have. There is coming a day. There is coming a time when they'll bow at His name. You know, to be able to bow in the presence of God is an honor, isn't it? When we pray, now some people may not be able to physically do this. I understand that. But when we pray, you know what we do? We bow our head and we bend our knee and we bow down. If we're able, sometimes we bow down when we pray. But we bow our heads in prayer. Why do we do that? Is that just a formality? Oh, no. We bow our head. When you bow your head, when somebody's praying, you should always bow your head when they pray. You say, why? Because that's in honor to the one that they're praying to. That's giving glory. That's giving a creed. That's giving allegiance. Amen. You see, sometimes sinners won't bow their head whenever somebody's praying. Now, if you don't want to be like a sinner, bow your head when people pray. Amen. Because you're not doing that as some form of service. But we're doing that because we honor the King. Amen. We honor Him. Thank God we're going to bow one of these days in His presence. I'm glad, thank God, there is coming a day when every knee is going to bow. And if you look at verse number 10, you see those that are in the heavens will bow at His name. That every knee should bow, notice this, of things in heaven. And those who are here will bow, things in earth. And those who are in hell will bow, things under the earth. Heaven will bow, earth will bow, and all of hell will bow. Heaven bows at His name right now. We bow here on earth, we that are saved. But the unsaved do not bow at His name most of the time. But at the judgment seat of Christ, 2 Corinthians 5:10, we know that's a judgment for the saved this morning. And the Bible says, for we must all appear, talking about saved people, believers, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that which he hath done, whether it be good or whether it be bad. It will be there at the great white, or at the judgment seat of Christ, we that are saved, the saints, the bride of Christ, will be raptured out. Thank God when Jesus comes, the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. And we which are alive and remain, that's the saved folks, shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Amen. But when we're called up, we'll be raptured out of this world. We'll be taken, my friend, to the portals of glory, and there we'll stand before at the judgment seat. We'll stand before the King, immortal, eternal, the one who is invisible, the only wise and true God. The Bible said the Father hath committed all judgment unto the Son, and we that are saved will stand before Him, and we'll give an account of our service. We'll give an account of our works. We'll give an account of the life that we have lived. We that are saved will bow in His presence at that judgment seat. We'll bow. And then, Revelation chapter 20 and verse number 11, sinners will bow. John said, and I saw a great white throne, he that sat upon it, from whose face the heaven and the earth fled away, and there was found no place for them. He said, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. People with names and people with no names. Famous people and infamous people. He said, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. And another book was open, the book of remembrance, the book of works. There's different five different books at least that will be opened there. That at the book of words will be given. There, the book of conscience, book of remembrance. Those books are going to be open. The books of books, amen. The word of God. The books were open, and the dead were judged out of the things that were written in the books. How will hell bow before his name? The next verse, John said, and I saw death and hell delivered up the dead. Death and hell delivered up the dead that were in them. And the Bible said that every man was judged according to his work. Verse 15 says, and whosoever's name was not found written. There it is again, a name. And whosoever's name was not written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. If you're here this morning, you're lost and you don't know Jesus Christ, you say, well, I'm not coming, I'm not bowing, I'm not getting saved. You may not bow now, but you will bow later. Every heathen, every atheist, every agnostic, every God-denying person that's ever lived upon this earth, they may curse His name now, they may say vile things about His name now, but there's coming a day when they're going to bow their head, they're going to bend their knee, they're going to bow in the presence of the one. I'm talking about every king and every prince and every captain and every governor and every person that ever thought they was too big to bow before Jesus Christ. They'll stand at the great white throne judgment just before they're cast in the lake of fire. I'm telling you, sinner, there is a place worse than hell, and it is the lake of fire, for death and hell was cast into the lake of fire. That will be your eternal destiny if you do not get saved. You will spend eternity in the lake of fire. And friend, I'm telling you, if you're lost this morning, you better come and trust the only name that can save you. You better run and bow before His name now. If you bow before His name now in repentance, you can bow before His name in worship throughout eternity, for that's what we'll do. We'll bow in His presence, and we'll worship Him, the bowing at His name. You see, it speaks of humility. And the reason we have a world today that does not want to bow, so much arrogancy, pride. This is a shocking verse to me. I mean, we've quoted it for years, and you know this verse very well. But it wasn't until maybe 6 or 7 or 8 months ago, I was just one day just thinking and meditating on something, and this verse popped in my head. I never thought about it like this. But Paul said this in 1 Timothy 3, this know also, or 2 Timothy 3, this know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Now we know that means dangerous times, doesn't it? Perilous times shall come. And then Paul begins to list the things, the signs of things that are going to mark the last days and mark what dangerous times are so that we can identify these are dangerous times. He said, this know also in the last times, perilous or last days, perilous times shall come. And think about it. Here's the first thing that tops the list. For men shall be lovers of their own selves. I would have never thought that would be the first sign of living in dangerous times. But when men love themselves, they'll do almost anything. They'll walk all over anybody. It doesn't matter. Think about kings. Think about they've slaughtered hundreds and thousands of innocent people. Why? Because of their name. Because they love themselves. Anybody that gets in their way. You can put that on any level this morning. I'm telling you, that's a mark of the last day. We're living in a time when, I'm telling you, listen, it's even infiltrated into the church world. I mean, people have made celebrities out of preachers and out of singers. And it seems like we're living in a time when everybody's making a name for somebody but Jesus. Amen? Listen. Don't die on me this morning. I'm just telling you how it is. Brother, we're living in a dog-eat-dog world. When everybody's trying to get, well, not everybody, but a lot of people's trying to get one up on somebody else. And it's a look-at-me generation. And I'm not talking about just young people. I'm talking about society as a whole. It's look-at-me. If you're not careful, you can get caught up in that real quick. But I think about John. Why did Jesus say there wasn't never a man born of a woman any greater than John the Baptist? Because John said he must increase and I must decrease. John said he needs to be big and I need to be small. Everybody needs to see him and nobody needs to see me. I'm talking about bowing at his name. There's something about this name this morning. The bestowing of his name. The bowing at his name. Then look at verse 11. I want you to see the broadcasting of his name. And that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God the Father. Can you imagine one of these days, every tongue is going to confess? Now, that's going to happen in eternity, but it's also going to happen here on earth. Jesus is coming, and He's coming soon. He may come today. I wish He would come today. I really wish the Lord would come today. And if He comes today, the church is going to be gone. If you're lost, you're going to be left behind. There'll be 7 years of tribulation on this earth like the world has never seen before. The Holocaust of all Holocausts will take place in the end. Israel will be purged from their unbelief, and the world will be purged from their sin, their righteousness, and their unrighteousness, and their judgment. And it'll be at the end of that age, we know the golden age. There's not going to be a golden age until the King comes. He's the only one that can bring it. And when He comes, He's going to set His kingdom up for 1,000 glorious years. You say, preacher, you really believe that's literal? With all my heart, I do. With all my heart, I believe it's literal. And He'll set that kingdom up, and for 1,000 years, Psalms 100 will be a reality. We use that psalm at Thanksgiving, and it's a great psalm to use, but really it's a millennial psalm. Because during that time, the whole earth is going to make a joyful noise before the Lord, all ye lands. Can you think about that? The north, the south, the east, the west. I'm telling you, all over this world, they're going to be making a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We're going to serve the Lord with gladness. We're going to come, we're going to go to Jerusalem, and we're going to come into His presence with singing. And we're going to know, the whole world is going to know He's God. And besides Him, there is none other. I know that's not in Psalms 100, but it's over in Isaiah. But the whole world's going to know that He is God. That is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Amen. Nobody's going to be running around building platforms. Nobody's going to be running around saying, look at me. Nobody's going to have a social media this or that. And I'm going to tell you something. All the media, all the attention is going to be put on Him. Every camera's going to be put on Him. The spotlight's going to be about Him. The desert's going to bloom like a rose. And thank God, I'm telling you, there's going to be streams in those deserts. And He's literally going to own the cattle on 1,000 hillsides. He's going to take that barren wasteland over there, all them sand lots. I'm going to tell you, the curse is going to be lifted. The lamb and the lion are going to lay down beside each other. The ox, the lion's going to eat straw like an ox. The whole earth is going to be filled with the knowledge of the Lord. And I'm going to tell you, on the bells of horses, there'll be holiness from one end of this earth to the other. He's going to cleanse this earth. He's going to lift the curse. And thank God, everywhere you go, we're going to know that it's He that hath made us and not we ourselves. I tell you what we're going to say. We're going to go around and say we're His people, hallelujah, and the sheep of His pasture. And we're going to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. The whole world will be thankful unto Him, and we will bless His name. Why? For the Lord is good. I say the Lord is good. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Hallelujah. Oh, I believe it's literal. And I feel sorry for anybody that doesn't. Amen. I preached this over in Alabama about 15 years ago. I'll tell you, they laughed me plumb out of the church. Had to go to the fellowship hall, and nobody even wanted to eat lunch with me. I'm telling you, they said, I didn't know. I'd send a different crowd. That's all I'm telling you. It's all right. Me and the Lord ate lunch together. One guy come by and he said, you really believe that's literal? I said, with all my heart I do. He just laughed. I said, you can laugh if you want to. He said, you really think you're coming back on a white horse? I said, you are too. I said, and I hope I'm right next to you when you do. I want to see the shock on his face. I'm going to tell him when we come back. He says, right there in that King James Bible, I tried to tell you, amen. Hey, we're coming back, amen. He said, I saw heaven open. Praise God, it's not in my notes, but I'm going to preach it anyway. He said, I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called faithful and true and in righteousness. He doth judge and make war. Praise God, he's coming back. He's coming back, and he's not coming back as a carpenter. He's not coming back as a savior. He's coming back as a king. Hallelujah, and we're coming with him. Praise God. His eyes were a flame of fire, and upon his head were many crowns. He had a name written. There it is again. It just keeps coming up. He had a name written that no man knew but himself. And his name is called the Word of God. He had a vesture dipped in blood. Amen. And his name is called the Word of God. And the armies. Hey, that all excites you this morning. And the armies, that's us, which are in heaven, followed him upon white horses, in white and clean. Hallelujah. Out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, and with it he should smite the nations. And he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh. Here it is again. It just keeps coming up, don't it? He hath on his vesture. All on his vesture. Can you imagine that? On his vesture and on his thigh. The thigh is a picture of strength. On the vesture and on his thigh, he's got a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You imagine when they look up and they see that, I believe it'll shine so bright, every king will see it. Every captain will see it. Brother Samuel, Israel's going to see that. They're going to see it on his vesture, and they're going to see it on his thigh. The king is coming. I like that old song, don't you? I just heard the trumpet sounding. And thank God the king is coming. Amen. Brother Laddie, the king's coming. Hallelujah. Just hang on a little bit longer. I'm telling you, it may just be one more hilltop. It may just be one more valley that you got to cross. It may just be one more footstep. But thank God the next song you sing, you may sing it in another land. And the next step you take, it might be on a street of gold. And the next meal we have, it may not be at this house, but it may be at his house. It may be supper time before dinner time ever gets here. Isn't that right? You know, Yankees and Western people always make fun of us for saying supper. They call it lunch and dinner. But, you know, we don't have the Lord's dinner, do we? Well, they always want to aggravate when you get around and say, y'all always say supper. I said, well, it's not the Lord's dinner. They ain't got nothing to say about that because it's Bible. I'm going to tell you, it's, hey, the sun is setting on this old world. You realize that? Heathenism's at an all-time high. Amen? The church has fallen vastly asleep. Formalism has come into most of our churches and crept in, and they don't even know which way is up anymore. They've let the devil rock them to sleep, and they've let worldliness, and they've let carnality, and they've let, listen, show business and entertainment and everything else come in. Hallelujah, I'm glad there's still a place on the side of the road where you can feel the breeze of heaven pass by. I'm telling you, Jesus is coming, praise God. And we're going, amen. We're getting out of here, aren't we? And I tell you, if I was lost, I'd come running. So I don't know how to be saved. Come trust the name. That'll save your soul. Just call on his name and say, Lord, would you save me? There's the broadcasting of that name. It will be every tongue. You see that in verse 11. It will be an eternal truth. Because it's true today, but I thought when you read verse 11, and that every tongue should confess. Look at this. Not that Jesus Christ was Lord, but that he is Lord. You know, I'm very thankful this morning that Donald Trump is our president. But he cannot stand and say that he will always be president. And even if they passed a law, and I'm not advocating that, you know, but even if they passed a law and they made him king, he could not always say that there'll be a day when every tongue will confess that I'm Lord. You know why? Because we're all mortal. Somebody could conquer this country. He could die. There's so many things, but not with Jesus. You know, you can get up tomorrow, Brother Brian, and read that same verse, and it'll still say that there's coming a day when every tongue's going to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. You know how the Bible can say that? Because He was Lord yesterday, He's Lord today, He'll be Lord tomorrow, He'll be Lord a year from now, He'll be Lord 10,000 years from now, He'll be Lord in eternity. I'm telling you, there's a lot of things in this world changing, but there's some things that's never going to change. And the fact that Jesus Christ has been Lord, He is Lord, He always will be Lord. I'm telling you, nobody voted Him in and nobody voted Him out. Amen? Listen, nobody can ever conquer Him. Nobody can ever take Him down. I'm glad this morning that He is Lord. We should broadcast it. And finally, there's the blessing of His name. What is the blessing of His name? Well, I'll tell you, I was reading this passage yesterday, and I thought, you know what the blessing of this name is? Is that I know the name Jesus. Isn't it a great blessing that you know His name? And that His name is personal this morning. This morning, because we have this, we know who He is this morning. That's a blessing. Sinner, the fact that God lets you open your eyes, live in His world, breathe His air. I was thinking about telling the young people this. Don't ever litter. I was going to tell them y'all in Sunday school next week, but I'll tell you now. Don't ever litter. Don't ever roll the window down and throw something out. Don't ever throw a piece of paper. Don't ever throw a piece of paper on the ground. Go find a trash can. You say, why would you tell them that? God's letting you live in His world. This is the Lord's world. The heathen, they trash this world out because they don't know the Creator. Well, we ought to take good care of His world, shouldn't we? Now, I'm not hugging trees, and I'm not saving whales, and I'm not saving squirrels. Shoot them and make dumplings out of them. Amen? Squirrels, not whales. Amen? Make bubble gum out of whales. That'd get me in a lot of trouble, won't it? This world's so crazy. Murder babies and save whales. It's another sermon for another day, isn't it? But at the same time, God lets you live in His world, sinner. He got you out of bed this morning. He brought you to church. He let you hear the gospel. It's going to give you an opportunity to walk down this aisle and get born again. I tell you, if I was lost, I wouldn't leave lost. I don't care if I was 5 years old, 7 years old, 18 years old, 35, 50 years old. It doesn't matter, 70 years old. I'd get saved. I was in a church service the other day. I didn't see this happen, but I heard testimony. And I thought, what a miracle. A man 90, can you imagine, just 94 years old got saved. Very few people at 94. Brother Laddie, very few people even have their mind to get saved even if they wanted to. You better get saved while you can. You don't get saved when you choose to. You get saved when the Holy Spirit knocks on your heart and draws you to an altar. And if that still small voice is speaking to you this morning, why don't you come? Let's stand this morning. Our heads are bowed, eyes are closed.